So this is the session two of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group, and today's date is February 12th, 2009. And has anyone else joined us that has not yet checked in with me?
That would be me, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
How you doing?
Mr. Accountability, how are you?
Doing all right.
Were you accountable this week?
Much as I could.
Okay. Okay, good. We'll talk about that in a second. So it sounds like we're missing Kelly. Is Kelly here yet?
Yeah. I'm here.
Wonderful. Okay, welcome, everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. So let's dive right in. And just please excuse me. I've got something in my throat. I don't know if I'm coming down with something or whatever. So if I'm coughing a little bit today, just let me know if I need to repeat something. So today is the second half of our clarity and commitment part of the process. So the first two calls that we have are about clarity and commitment. We talked last time about goals, what your commitment statement is, and had you work on some gremlins and some other juicy stuff. So we are going to talk about your homework and check in on that. I've got a couple of tips that I want to share with you based on some emails I had with Paul. And we are going to talk today about also your likes and your dislikes and translating those into your must-have and like-to-have lists to see how that went and if anybody has any questions there. Then we're going to talk about your careers to consider and how to start using that list. And I will give you your homework for next time as well. Okay, so are you guys ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, rock and roll. All right, so I like to start each of these calls just briefly with any successes or new learnings or challenges that you're having, either relevant to what we talked about last time or anything else. So does anybody have any successes or learnings they just feel like they got to share?
I have a success.
Go, Paul.
My wife and I are proud to announce we had a newborn baby boy this week.
Oh yay!
Wow!
So kind of puts a little different tinge on my career research when you bring a new life into this world.
Wow! No kidding, Paul. You were busy.
Yes.
So if you didn't do your homework, I think I'll give you a break on this one.
Okay.
Congratulations! What's his name?
George. George Samuel.
Oh, wonderful. I'm actually impressed that you're even on the call today.
Really?
Yeah. I remember for me, my son is just over a year, and I think I was in another land for the first 2 weeks. I had no idea which way was up. So
That's about right.
I'm impressed that you're here, and you sound pretty sane, actually. So good for you.
Good.
Congratulations. That's so wonderful. I think that is the first time I've ever heard that one. That's a good one. All right, so anybody else, any successes or learnings they want to share, and then we'll move to challenges. And no, it doesn't have to be as good as Paul's, okay? No pressure. All right, so any challenges that you guys had with the homework or questions about it? Anything there?
This is Angie. I think for me, I realized that I'll need to manage my time pretty well just to be able to commit to the homework and giving it the time that I want to give it.
Good, Angie.
Good to see that early.
Good. I'm very glad that it's perfect to see it now. So what do you need to do? What's the commitment you need to make to yourself? Is it setting up a certain night every week that you work on this? What is it?
Yes, and doing that Thursday or close to the beginning of the week rather than closer to the end.
Okay, so you're going to say either like Thursday night
mm-hmm.
or early in the week is when you do this homework.
Yeah. I'm saying Thursday night.
Okay, let's put it down. Wonderful. It's a really good idea. This is for everybody when you're dealing with time management issues like this to put some more structure into it because that will help you manage your time better if you say, okay, this is the night I'm doing this. And define the number of hours you're going to do. So, Angie, if you say, okay, I'm at least devoting an hour and I'm going to do it on Thursday night, it should get better for you, okay? Good. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else, any challenges or questions?
I'll say something. This is Stacy. I guess I had just a little bit of a challenge just because I had previously, I felt maybe I jumped the gun and started filling out my must-have and like-to-have lists. So when it came to homework, I kind of felt like it was redundant. So I wasn't as excited about doing this particular homework assignment.
Did you get any other ideas or you felt like, already did it?
Yeah, I did some more, but I wasn't really that excited about it. It didn't really pump me up.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you for letting us know. I'm trying to think if, what do you think would make it more exciting or have made it more exciting for you?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I had a gremlin approach to the homework, but I just kind of like, why am I filling this out?
Already did it.
Well, no, I mean, this is kind of like, this is, I guess I was very gremlinish of like, how's this going to help anything? What's this going to do? Kind of.
So what would you say to that? What would you say to that gremlin, Stacy? How is it going to help?
I guess it was hard to see the larger picture. Because I was just writing it and I haven't really gone back to look at what I wrote down.
Okay. Well, so let's ask the group for a second. I'm really glad you brought this up. I love the honesty and I'm glad you brought it up. So what do you guys think? What is the point of doing the must-have and like-to-have lists? What would you guys say?
I think it helps when you're evaluating opportunities that come across your that you run across,
yep,
whether or not they, you know, the majority of the items that you're looking for, if they fit or don't fit.
Yes, good, Paul. That's one of the main reasons. That's perfect. That it's kind of, and we'll talk about this more in a moment, but it's about, number one, prioritizing what's most important to you so that when you're, say you're evaluating two different job ideas or even two different positions, you've got kind of a litmus test to say, does this have everything on my must-have list? And if it doesn't, then you need to think twice about it, okay? And it also helps you say, you know what, while salary and location are really important to me, it's really more important that I'm creative in my job and that I feel fulfilled or something like that. So it helps you also prioritize in your mind so that you know what are the most important things to you and you can pursue those and not the things that are on your like to have as much, that they would be nice kind of add-ons, but they're not something that's make or break. So even when you're going into an interview for a potential job, this is an example too, that you know these are the questions that I need to ask. These are the things I have to find out about this job to know whether I should take it or not. Does that help, Stacy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So any other challenges? And then let's move to the next thing. Anybody else?
Just juggling my busy schedule. This is Michael.
Okay. So, Michael, what did you think of the deciding, like, a day and time that you're going to work on it? You want to try it?
Well, I, like, with finishing up school and all the big projects we got going on, I try to fit it. I have tried to put a day or a time, you know, I try to block off a time, but it's just getting all these other things.
Yep. So use that technique. And then you also have to know, though, that your schedule needs to be flexible. And if things come up that, you know, you've got an assignment or whatever, then you have to be able to change it as you need to, too. And the other thing I want you guys to remember that is that while there are going to be assignments like this where you're writing something and thinking, that a lot of the learning that's going to happen for you is when you're not actually, like, actively thinking about this stuff or doing it, where you're doing something else, but your mind, your subconscious mind is chewing on it. I had a client recently who, she came up with her ideal career path, like the idea hit her on a Sunday afternoon when she was sitting on her couch reading a magazine, not when she was sitting down, I'm doing my homework for Hallie. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So know, too, that even if you're not spending as much, quote, unquote, focused time on this, as long as you're thinking about it and it's on your mind in some capacity, then that is going to help as well. That's an important part of it. And that's what I call your marinating in this stuff. Does that make sense? Does that make sense for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So just don't make it out to be like, oh, my gosh, I have to have this focus time and it's got to be hours and hours. Do the work, you know, do what's there. And then as long as it's on your mind and kind of check in with it periodically, then that's good. You're going to get the results that you need. All right. So last time we talked about gremlins. Let's hear from at least one person. What was the impact of noticing your gremlins? Who got something?
I got a few. This is Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that the awareness, I became aware of them and saw what they lead to. So, like a few, just to name a few, lack of motivation leads to procrastination. Fear of rejection leads to complacency. Lack of commitment leads to letting issues, situations slide. Staying within my comfort zone leads to closing the door on new opportunities. And worry leads to frustration.
Nice. That's a good list. So, Michael, did you manage your gremlins better this week, and what happened?
I'm trying to work on that.
Okay.
That's the management part that I'm trying to work on.
Okay. So remember that awareness is the first step, and the fact that you're aware of this and have come up with this list for yourself, that is going to help you do something about them, okay? So remember what we talked about for everybody about managing your gremlins, talking back to them, smashing them with your fist, sending them away on vacation, whatever it is, do whatever you can in order to manage these negative voices because they will hold you back, okay? So good, Michael. Thank you. So even though we're not going to talk about gremlins every single time that we meet, know that this needs to be on your list and you guys need to continue to be aware of them and take action on them, okay? Any other questions or anything on gremlins that you guys want to share before we go to the next thing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so how did it go checking in with your buddies and talking about your goals and commitments? Okay, so my first question would be, does everybody have a clear list of their goals? Yes.
Yes.
Do I hear yeses? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know if I said this last time, your commitment statements, I suggest you put those on your bathroom mirror or on your refrigerator. Post-it notes on those places. This is going to help you all with the time management, with the gremlins and everything else, constantly reminding yourself of what your commitment is. Okay? So I highly recommend it goes on the bathroom mirror or on your refrigerator or somewhere else that you are all the time, maybe your desk. Okay? And how did it go checking in with your buddy? So did everyone check in with their buddy? Or actually, let's say this. Did anyone not check in with their buddy? Oh, good. So everybody did. And how did that go? Was it helpful for you guys?
Yeah.
I think that was LaToya. Say more.
Yeah. It gave me a better understanding of what my buddy is looking for. And I'll be able to offer suggestions if I have any. Now I know what, you know, she clearly wants and what she's looking for and what she's committed.
Good. Nice. Perfect. So give me one thing that you all learned this week from checking in with your buddy.
I'll say something, Stacy.
Yep.
Kelly is my buddy, and I thought it was interesting that we kind of had a similar background to begin with career-wise, although she's kind of gone off towards another direction. But so far, so good. I think it's cool to kind of get to know at least one person in the group on a more like intimate level to know exactly what's going on in their brain and why they're here in this group, what made them sign up for this group.
Good. Perfect. That's great. And, Stacy, by doing that, what did you learn anything more about yourself by going over your goals?
Well, I think it was just comforting because so many people don't really talk about their jobs and that they're really searching for something else. It's just nice to speak with somebody else who is unhappy with their job but aren't just staying there, that are really actively trying to do something else about it. It's just not a topic that you get to really talk to other people about regularly.
Yeah.
So I think that that's kind of nice.
It is nice. It makes you feel like you're in the same boat with other people going through the same thing, right?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Good. And that's part of this support in times of transition is so vitally important, in part because of what you're talking about, Stacey. It's the motivation, but it's also about, you know, feeling like somebody else understands what you're going through. There's a lot of comfort in that and can help motivate and inspire you to move forward and do something about it, too. Thanks.
Hear that, Kelly? My motivation?
Yes. Well, I wanted to say, you know, I think Stacey is a really good partner for me because the career that she's interested in going into is acting, which is, you know, as far as I know, pretty freelance, probably more freelance even than what I'm doing. And so it's kind of inspiring that she's brave and is willing to take that kind of risk, and that's sort of the person I need, I think.
Yes. Oh, gorgeous. You guys, nice work. And, Stacey, you can run the call starting next week, okay, because I heard you checking in about the motivation.
Okay.
That was good. I love it. This is what I want you guys to do is be there for each other and be each other's coaches, you know. Call each other out. Say what, you know, help each other with what you need. And when your buddy says, this is what I need help with, point it out to them. That's perfect, you guys. Great work. Okay. So two quick things that I wanted to tell you. Paul, do you mind if I just share what I emailed you about blogging and stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
When I interact with anybody in the group or if there's some idea that I need to share with you all but it's not on my agenda, I always like to bring it up in the call because it's really helpful and relevant. Paul right now, he is blogging. He's got a blog, and he blogs about banking and financial issues, I'm assuming, Paul.
Correct.
And I just wanted to mention this because one of the things that he's considering doing or that I suggested to him is you can get paid to blog. And so I know some of you are thinking about, LaToya, I think you had written down writing as a possible career path. A great way to get practice in writing or a new path is doing something like blogging. And in Paul's example, you can get paid to blog on certain sites. And so this is one of the things he's thinking about just to make some extra income. But blogging is also a great way to get a new job and to start on a new career path because it can position you as an expert in that field, okay, and allow you to start networking with other people in that industry that you're choosing to go into. So I want you guys to just keep this blogging thing in mind, okay? And the other thing that I told Paul about, which you guys may already know, but the website about.com, it's about.com, is a great job-searching resource. It's interesting because when we get to the part about, you know, working on your resume and the transition plan, I have a lot of clients who, you know, they get to that point in their job search, and although I'm not a professional resume writer, I can give them some really good tips about working on their resume, but I found that when I direct people to this website, about.com, it's a great resource for job searching tips and also researching and investigating different types of career paths, okay? So I encourage you guys, just keep that on your list as a possible resource for you all to use. When it started, I don't know how long it's been around, but when it started a few years ago, I thought it was kind of cheesy, and I thought, well, how can there be a site that's, like, about every single thing? But they've got a really good model of they have experts in different areas that write about particular fields, and their career section is fabulous. So keep that in mind, okay? All right, so let's talk about, well, any questions on those things before I move on? Okay, yeah. Groovy. So let's talk about your likes and dislikes and turning those into must-haves and like-to-haves. So remember that I asked you all to be really specific with these because what I find is people will say, well, I don't like my boss. Well, what does that mean? Like, what kind of boss do you want instead? Do you want somebody who's, you know, more relaxed and laid back or provides more support and input. So you need to be really specific with these. So how did you guys do with this? Was it an easy enough exercise? Did anybody have any trouble with it? Okay,
this is my, I usually come up with blanks.
So blanks because you're not really sure?
Yeah, I'm not really sure because, well, I've got a list of it, but it seems like I really dislike all my jobs that I've had and really don't know what I like.
So, Michael, let's take a couple of examples. And, Stacy, maybe you can help them out here because you did this really, really well, right? It just flowed out of you. So, Michael, give us an example of something that you've disliked in the past, and let's see if we can turn it into something that you want.
Well, there is a lack of trust.
Okay. So let's start with that one. Let's just do one at a time here. So lack of trust from who?
I would say from my initial supervisors all the way up with to the organization itself.
So it's kind of like your immediate supervisor, plus there was a culture of lack of trust. Okay. So instead of that, and anybody feel free to jump in here too, what would you want instead? Would you want a place that provides like freedom and independence to its employees because it trusts them, like there's flexibility and independence type of thing?
I would say empower, like you can include empowerment in that thing, where if I have an idea, I don't have to go through 15 chains of commands to get my idea heard, because by the time it gets up to the 15th, one of those people above you have already stole your idea.
Mm-hmm.
And is using it as their own.
Okay. All right, so where people are empowered, so write this down for me, Michael.
All right.
So where employees are empowered, their ideas are heard and considered. And it's kind of like a place where either there is no hierarchy or less of one, where you can go right to the top. There's not all these, like, barriers and red tape, something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else have other ideas for Michael?
I was just thinking maybe he would like being self-employed.
Yes.
Or working for a smaller company.
Yep.
Where there isn't such a high hierarchy, like you're saying. It isn't. I mean, I work in a company that I can walk straight into our CEO's office if I wanted to.
And is this Stacy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Okay. You can. That's cool. So it exists. So, Michael, it exists, okay? And
last thing, where ideas are heard and
considered.
Considered.
Ideas are heard and considered. And I would add the, like what Stacy was saying about, you can go right to the top. Or you are the top where you're the entrepreneur and the boss. And I do really like that, I'll tell you. It's a nice thing. Okay, Michael, so does that help?
Yeah.
So what? How do you do this for the rest of your dislikes? What were the questions that we asked here?
I guess what impact, or I guess more of actions.
Okay. So what's the impact? That will help you define, okay, so what's the impact of this lack of trust that makes me feel like XYZ? And what's the impact that I want to have instead, right?
Yes.
And get more specific, like, what does this mean? You could ask yourself, what does this mean? And how do I want things to be different? Okay. Do you want to do one more example?
Let's see. Let's go with no accountability.
Okay. So there's no accountability on whose part? Like no one takes responsibility for their results and tasks?
No one, that no one takes responsibility, and no one holds anyone really accountable.
Okay.
If they make it, and then that falls into the good old boy syndrome.
Gotcha. So what would you want instead? What would be the impact, the type of environment that you want to be in?
An environment where people, you know, do not have a fear of conflict.
Okay, so open communication?
Yes.
And there's something about people taking responsibility for their tasks, you know?
Yes.
So, like, good work ethic. Was somebody else going to say something a moment ago? Okay. So do you see, Michael, how you just kind of have to sit down with this for a second and ask yourself these questions, like, what does this mean? Who is not taking responsibility, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay. So if you continue to have trouble, check in with either your buddy or me, and we'll help you filter the rest of these out, okay? So did anybody else struggle with this at all? Either translating them into the wants or into the must-have and like-to-have.
I think for me, this is Kelly, I think it gets difficult sort of defining what's a must and what's something that I would like.
Okay, so Kelly, can we work with you for a sec? So give us one of the things that you want to have. So one of the things either that you like or, you know, that you want to have in an ideal job.
Let's see. I put down working as a team with others.
Okay. All right. And give me another one.
A manageable level of responsibility.
And what does that mean?
Well, right now, since I'm kind of, you know, on my own, everything's up to me. So if I get sick one day, you know, there's no support.
Okay, so one of the things would be there's support. There's backup.
Right.
Okay, good. What else?
I also put down medical benefits.
Okay. That was one of the things that you want to have?
Yeah.
Go back to the manageable level of responsibility for me for a moment, though. That there's backup, and is there any other way that you define that, though, to get specific with it?
I guess I would have to say that, you know, it's fun being your own boss, but then sometimes you would like to have somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Okay.
Or get stuck somewhere.
Good. So colleagues or someone to bounce ideas off of. And I would say, you know, as part of this manageable level of workload or responsibility, too, that there's enough people in the organization where everyone, you know, can have life balance.
Right.
The work is spread around kind of evenly, right?
Sure.
So you may want to put that down, too. Do you guys see how it's important to get really specific about this?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because if you're going to look at something, a potential job or even a potential industry, you can't really know if that's going to be a good fit for you unless you've been really specific about the things that you want. Okay? Because if you just say, you know, working as a team with others, it's not that that's terrible, because obviously you know, okay, being an entrepreneur might be hard because I'm working on my own, but, like, what does that mean? What kind of team do you want to work with? And is it that you're always working in a group, like on a team of researchers for something? Or is it more that, you know, I want to be able to work on a team, but it's not all the time? It's like 50-50. Okay, so Kelly, going back to you with your must-have and like-to-have, what was tough about prioritizing these for you?
Because we have all of it.
Because all of it goes on must-have?
Yes.
I've had a lot of people say that, actually. So is it literally every single thing you put on your must-have and there's nothing on like?
No, it's about 50-50, but then I thought about it, and it's kind of like looking for a house. You know, you'd want the house that has everything, if you could find it.
Yes.
And you have to narrow it down to what's really important, and that's hard for me.
Okay. So what would help you narrow it down? I mean, take the house analogy for a second. And with a house, what do you have to have in a house? You've got to have a kitchen. You've got to have bathrooms, right?
Right.
And, I don't know, it's got to have walls and floors and ceilings and heat and air.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of this stuff, you know, it'd be nice if it looked nice, right? But it doesn't, you know, absolutely have to be laid out a certain way or whatever it is. So look at your list of must-haves for me for a second. And what are the things that you absolutely can't do without?
I absolutely have to work in this from my flexible environment.
Okay, put a star by it. And give me two other ones that are an absolute must. Can't live without.
I guess located in the area that I'm already in.
Because you don't want to move, right?
Right.
Okay.
And enough income to feel comfortable.
Okay. And do you know what the income is? Do you have a number in your head?
Yeah.
Okay. Important to have a number. This goes for everybody. It's good to say, you know, I have to have a minimum salary requirement, but you really need to know what that number is, and we're going to talk about that more, but you can start to think about that now if you want to. The more specific you get with all of this, the better. So, Kelly, did that help?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. So what I want every time we do these exercises together, guys, is for you guys to learn from each other as well. So did anyone else have any challenges with their must-have or like-to-have?
This was what?
Yeah.
On my must-have list, I notated creativity, but I started thinking how to break. Can you break down creativity? I mean, do I need to look for creativity in my job responsibilities or in the environment? It seems like creativity is broad, or is it okay just to plainly put, I want a creative environment?
let's put it to the group. What do you guys think?
I think it would be helpful to figure out what you're talking about. I mean, you can be a creative accountant, or you could be a creative graphic designer. I mean, I just think it's very broad.
Exactly. Was that Stacy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Anybody else, any thoughts? Does she need to get more specific?
I agree with Stacy. This is Angie. It seems like you, using your example, an accountant for, say, an art school might be different than, say, writing for a financial magazine.
Exactly.
Creative okay. On a different job environment versus your responsibility.
Yep. So you guys are exactly right. So, LaToya, get more specific. Is it that you are literally doing something creative, which I kind of think it is from what I know about you so far, like it's graphic design or something that is literally that, and not just, well, the environment is kind of creative or creative accounting.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I work for, this is Stacy again, I work for an advertising agency, and I would think people could think, oh, that's a creative job, but the only create people who actually have something creative to do is that graphic artist and the creative people. So I'm very work near creative people, but my job is not a creative job. Although I work, you would think an ad agency might be a creative place, so I think it'd be really important to get specific.
Exactly.
Okay.
Perfect. Is that good, LaToya?
Yes.
So this is a really good point, because if you all, this is why it's so important to be specific, because, and Stacy, this may be part of why you felt like, you know, you already had this list for yourself, that when you're looking at these, if they're so broad and general that you feel like you could almost do anything and still be creative, then you haven't gotten specific enough. Because you could say, like, the same thing with me as a coach, I'm creative because the way that I work with people is using, you know, creative techniques. And that's completely different from literally, like, being an artist. Completely different. So you want to be able to say to yourself when you're looking at your must-haves and like-to-haves that, number one, the must-haves are things that I cannot do without, that I will not compromise on no matter what. And two, that when you look at both of these lists, that you can say to yourself, this is what it means. And because of this, that means that I need to work as an artist. Or, like, maybe I can work in a creative environment, but I actually want to be doing creative things as well. Don't just make assumptions about it. That was perfect, you guys. Okay? So let's get some quick examples, one from everybody. Share one of your must-haves that you didn't realize before. So just go around the room, and something that was like, huh, yeah, I guess I didn't totally realize this before. One of your must-haves. So, LaToya, let's start with you. I'm going to call on people then. LaToya, what would you say?
Work from home opportunities. The job that I have now, we get to work from home one day a week, and I didn't realize that I like to, you know, have that time that I'm just not around my work environment, that I'm comfortably at home, even though I'm doing my work, I'm just not specifically in the workplace, and I like it.
Gotcha. Okay, good. Perfect. Okay, Paul, how about you?
One of the ones that I guess, put on my want list that I decided was a must-have was being in a career that is not in conflict with my ethics. Looking back on my career, being, you know, seeing things that go on that shouldn't be going on.
Big
and
one.
Saying, you know, I want to be in an environment where my ethics are in alignment with my coworkers.
Yes.
I guess, or my colleagues.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge, Paul. And that goes really well with what we're going to talk about, start on homework for, and talk about next time with your values. Okay, that's a biggie. Good. Stacy, how about you?
I only had two must-haves down, and neither of them, I guess, were that new, but I got really specific on one of them since I am trying to pursue this acting thing, but a realistic job, so I just wrote down, must be able to go on occasional daytime auditions, acting jobs, and be done with work by 6 p.m. in case I'm in a play.
Perfect. Good. Really specific. Okay, Angie.
One thing that I guess surprised me in this, that it expressed itself in this particular way, is I'm needing to have a certain level of expertise in my role.
Yes.
And to know the kind of rules and policies of my work environment. That makes me feel very comfortable.
Ah, good, good. Little thing here about that, Angie, and this goes for everybody. In the career test I use with people, they test for two types of personalities, and one is maestro and the other is tribal. And people who are maestros, Angie, this sounds like you, people who are maestros are people that like to be an expert in something and want to be seen as an expert in their field or at least very knowledgeable about it. And it does not mean that they're on stage, you know, announcing it all the time, but they tend to like to be kind of out in front. And some examples would be like doctor, lawyer, musician, actor, or actress. Those people tend to be this maestro type personality. The tribal type of personality is someone who is more willing to, I'm okay with working in the background and working with other people as a team. I don't have to be seen as the expert or the go-to person to have all of the answers, okay? So tribal would be someone who's more kind of okay with being in the wings. Does that make sense? So, Angie, I hear some maestro in you. Okay. And, Stacy, I think that might be a little bit of what's going on for you with the acting as well.
Yeah, I didn't like the description of the tribal person at all.
Okay, there you go. Then you're a maestro, too. And what, so in your next job, you know, because we've been talking about you getting a job in between, you know, while you're pursuing your acting career, whatever it is, it would be more of a fit for you if you're in a maestro role.
Yeah.
Where you're the expert in something. Good. Okay, so, Michael.
Well, most of them I knew I'd end up the trouble I had bringing anything to the table, but I really do enjoy attending meetings with senior management.
Okay. All right. And what is it about that that you enjoy? Does it go back to that you're getting to give your ideas to the top?
Well, it's, you know, because one day I either want to own my own business or be a part of senior management, so the learning experience.
Okay.
Seeing how these people from the bad things and picking up any good things.
Yes. So wherever you are, you either need to, it needs to be you're running your own business, Michael, or wherever you are, you need to be high enough up where you have influence over what's going on in the organization. Because that's what I'm hearing from you about your ideas get straight to the top and in what you just said. So you need to have a say and people listening to you and have an influence on what's going on. Now, it may not happen tomorrow, but that's where you're going. Okay? Kelly, how about you?
Well, I guess one of the things that I wrote down is that I have to have some independence because the worst thing that you could do to me is micromanage me. I cannot stand that.
Okay. So you need to have a job where you've got a lot of that, plus a work environment, and a boss who allows for it.
Right.
So yeah. You may want to add that to it, too. That's good. Okay, perfect. All right, so if you guys have any more questions about your must-haves and like-to-haves, just let me know. Let's move to your careers to consider. So remember, at the bottom of your must-have and like-to-have lists, we have your careers to consider. Here's the deal with this list, okay? Every time we do an exercise, you need to look at your careers to consider and see if anything needs to be changed or tweaked on that list based on what you've just learned. So one of your homework assignments for next time is to look at your must-haves and like-to-haves and say, okay, so my careers to consider, are they still a fit? Or do I need to take some of them off the list or change it or further clarify it? Okay, so let's hear from one or two people. Take a look at your must-have and like-to-have list, and let's just see if anybody has any ideas right now. Look at your must-have and like-to-have and your careers to consider. Can anybody see any changes they need to make right away? If you don't, it's okay. I just want to check in. Does this make sense, what I'm saying, how you might need to change it based on what you've got down? Do you guys get that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. So sit with this for homework for me. So homework number one is to review your careers to consider list based on your must-have and like-to-have and see if any changes need to be made. Usually at this early stage in the game, not a lot needs to change, but sometimes there are people that need to say, like LaToya with you about this creativity thing.
Yeah.
You know, like working for a publishing company, I'm just making something up, you know, might mm-hmm. work, but you would have to be one of the creative people, like a writer.
Right, okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's not just
yeah.
working there, kind of like I think it was Stacy was talking about, okay? So, again, look at this, and this is your litmus test to say, yes, these still fit on my list. No, they don't belong here anymore. Okay? So just to reiterate, the reason why we do the must-have and like-to-have is to help you prioritize what's most important to you so you can clearly make decisions between different possible positions and industries. And the must-have and like-to-have list is going to help you start to fill out the career model that I sent you guys today, okay? So because you're starting to identify what works for you, you can start filling out these pieces of the model. And we'll talk more about that as we go along, okay? So underneath your careers to consider, there's something else I want you to add as another heading, another list under your careers to consider list. And it's called questions that need to be answered. Questions that need to be answered about each career path. And I'll tell you what this means, okay? I'm trying to think if I can use an example from somebody today. This is a little bit of a stretch, but like, okay, to use Michael as an example. Since Michael wants to have his ideas heard and so much kind of control over what happens in an organization, one of his questions that I think his, I'm talking about you like you're not here, Michael. One of the questions that you need to think about is something like, can I find an organization that is flat enough where I can go in and have my ideas heard and have, you know, an influence over an organization? Or is it really better for me to be an entrepreneur and just be my own boss? You see what I'm saying, Michael?
Yes.
Okay. So another one could be, if you're considering, for example, being a freelance writer, that's one of the things on your careers to consider, one of the things you have to think about and a question that needs to be answered is, can you be an entrepreneur? How does that sit with you? Do you feel like you can be a business owner? Another example would be if you want to work in leadership development. Michael, this was one of the ones that you had said. Some questions that you need to think about there is, who do you want to help? Who do you want to help develop their leadership? Is it people in large corporations? Is it people one-on-one or smaller organizations? Okay? And it's okay to not know the answers to these questions right now. The first thing to do here is to identify what these questions are so that you make sure you get them answered as we go along to identify your ideal path, okay? I think these questions, I think this is kind of a hard concept to grasp at the very beginning like this. But I want to make sure that you've got the list started. And as we go, this will become clearer. Okay? All right. So does anybody have questions on this, the questions that need to be answered? Does it make sense?
Yes.
Give me some other yeses. Everybody else, are you clear or kind of, huh?
Yes.
Yeah? Those are my two yes people. Okay, somebody else in the quiet group, say yes if it, or ask a question. Is it good? Are you good?
Kelly, can you review the homework again?
Yeah, that's where I'm going right now, actually, because okay. There's more. The first homework is review your careers to consider based on your must-have and like-to-have lists. Then, number two, is for each career idea, so all of the career ideas on your careers to consider list, discuss these with your buddy and think about what questions need to be answered for those different careers, okay? So what we just talked about a moment ago. And then the third piece of homework, this is a quick, easy one, it's to read the introduction to values in your workbook. It's on page 13, excuse me, and it's the first three paragraphs on page 13. just the introduction, and then read page 17 in the workbook as well to prepare you for the exercise we're going to do on values next week. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
Careers that are, you may not know exist.
Yeah.
So for example, I may make my list and come up with some career ideas, but I may be perfectly suited for something that I maybe have never been exposed to before.
Right. Okay, so here's what you do. This comes up all the time because there is no person or website I have ever found that knows all the jobs in the world. It just
sure.
isn't there.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I suggest to people, because this is a very valid, good question, Paul, is a couple things. Come up with a list of keywords. Like if it's something that's related to writing and banking, okay, I'm just making something up here, like writing about financial topics or something like that, like come up with some keywords and start to search by those keywords on Google, okay? And it can help you start to see, like, careers in banking, financial careers, you know, things like that. You may start to see websites that talk about jobs or organizations or companies that are related to banking but that you haven't thought of before. So Google searching is one. And number two, on my website under career coaching, there's a drop-down menu, and there's a link that is called resources. And you know what? I'm going to send this to you guys to make it easier. But there is an occupational outlook handbook put out by the U.S. Department of Labor, and it gives the job trends, you know, what industries are doing well, what industries are not. And that is another good site to search, again, using these keywords, because it's specific to industries, and it can help you brainstorm ideas, too, and let you know what's out there. Does that help, Paul?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. Yep.
You have on your career resources something about, I think it's called Rockport?
Yes. It's a career test.
Okay. Would that be able to do that, to help pinpoint?
Kind of. It does give you a list of what other people with your similar personality, your strengths and abilities and personality type, it does give you a list of what they are best suited for.
Okay.
So it is one way to help you think out of the box. It's not the only way. So
okay.
Start with the two things that I said, and then we can talk about the Rockport more if you need it.
Okay.
Because it's definitely a good resource. So I know we need to get going here. So is everybody clear on the homework, first of all?
Yes.
Okay. If anyone is antsy to move ahead and, like, do extra work, one of the things you can do is take your must-have and like-to-have list and start to fill out the bubbles in the career model that I sent you. Okay? So that's just a little thing if anybody's got some extra time on their hands, right? Yeah, right. Especially you, Paul. So let's go out around the room. What's the biggest learning for each of you today?
This is getting more specific with my must-have list.
Okay, thanks, LaToya. And I heard somebody else, and I wasn't sure, so just keep diving in.
Stacy, I need to work on my careers to consider list. That's kind of blank right now. I really need to start being creatively thinking in that department.
Okay, good. So more careers to consider. Let me know if you need help. Keep going.
Michael, I think I need to be more, instead of being more general, be more specific.
Yeah, good.
More specific.
More specific. Okay, good.
This is Angie, and some of the same, just to be more specific about the careers to consider, get a little deeper.
Okay, cool.
This is Kelly. I was thinking it's helpful to hear that I maybe need to look into some careers that I don't know exist yet.
Yep, good. It's usually the case for everybody. Okay, who are we missing? We're missing Paul.
Just your comment about Googling keywords. Okay. I thought that's a great idea.
Okay, cool. All right, have we got everybody? Yes, we do. Nice work, guys. Remember that I'm here, so contact me if you're struggling with something, need help, have a question. That's what I'm here for, okay?
Okay.
All right, kick ass on your homework this week, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.